Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm excited and delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional, a fellow member of the YPO from Geneva, Switzerland, but talking to us today from London, Mr. Taha Bawa. Taha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's lovely to see
you. Thank you. Taha is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Goodwall, which has a goal to give 100 million youth opportunities. He's a board member of Generation Unlimited. He's a technology pioneer of the World Economic Forum. And as I mentioned, he's a fellow member of the Young Presidents Organization, or just YPO. So Taha, before we talk of Goodwall, tell me about your own amazing journey in brief.
Well, thank you so much. I think my journey is one of a lot of luck and privilege. Mm-hmm. I was born in Switzerland. I grew up to Sri Lankan parents, living in Pakistan, Iran, the US, came back to Switzerland, studied partly there, and then went to university between Switzerland and the UK, studying economics and then my MBA. I think what was very clear to me at a very young age was that I definitely would not be in a room or a virtual room like the one I am in with you today, if not for the opportunities I had growing up, and opportunities particularly outside of the classroom. And that's really what kind of inspired us to build Goodwall. But that's a little bit of our journey. We're very lucky to travel a lot and experience a lot, from seeing people with very little, for example, in Sri Lanka and in some of the refugee camps we visited, but also those with a lot. Like in some of the privileged educational institutions that I had the chance to attend.
Oh, fascinating. So let's talk about Goodwall. Tell me about Goodwall, and what was your inspiration to co-found Goodwall and focus on youth empowerment?
It was his idea. Mm-hmm. He told me, so growing up, at least part of our life in Geneva, we were very excited, or I was not very excited, to join the social sector. I just felt, like many young people do, that change was not possible or was very, very difficult. I mean, we see it today with the climate crisis. Young people face climate anxiety. I, at the time, just felt, you know, nothing's really changing, and we can't really solve our world's most pressing problems. My brother, on the other hand, more of an idealist, said, look, there's this incredible technology out there. What if we could leverage it to mobilize and give the opportunities we had, both in terms of skills, but also in terms of wanting to create change, to 100 million change makers? Wouldn't that change the world? Mm. And that's where it started from. We thought, what we want to do is create 100 million change makers. And the best way to do that would be to focus on youth age 16 to 24. At the beginning, just high school, but then it grew from there. So really, it started off from this vision of how can we create change makers at scale? And we said it has to be sustainable, has to be tech-enabled, has to leverage partnerships. And that's really where we started. And we identified the problem being young people don't have the right skills and they're not being assessed for the right skills. So what if we focused on essentially building a pre-LinkedIn? Because there was a gap in the market.
Yeah.
And by doing that, we would inspire young people to also do good. So the mission is help young people maximize their potential and have a positive impact in society. I mean, ultimately, I don't think I'm on this call with you today because I'm exceptionally smart or because I'm exceptionally good. I think it's just, I had the right opportunities at the right time. I had confidence from my parents. I was exposed to certain injustices. And I thought, you know, this inspired me to maybe try and do my bit. So if we can do that for a lot of young people, then hopefully we can change the world.
Amazing, amazing. And I must compliment you, for someone as young as you, to be talking so much about gratitude is incredible. So Taha, tell me, what are the areas of empowerment of these young 16 to 24 year olds that you are focusing on?
So Goodwall is based on three pillars, essentially a profile for the unprofiled. So those who don't show up on LinkedIn, those who don't have centralized credentialing, a community that supports each other and hypes each other off, and then find opportunities for everyone. What we do is, on top of Goodwall, run programming alongside governments, large corporates, and big foundations at very large scale. Essentially, mobilize young people to build themselves up or to have a positive impact on society. Mm. And we have thematic areas that we focus on. Mm. So we focus on young people driving the green transition from an entrepreneurship perspective, mm. from an actions perspective, from a skills to jobs perspective, and from a voices and insights perspective. Mm. We now are launching programming on inclusive AI. So getting young people to develop AI fluency, AI skills, AI mm. leadership. And then we have a bunch of other thematic areas that we run programming on.
Mm. Fascinating. And Taha, what are some of the key skills you believe are essential for the youth in today's digital age?
I think if we look back at the last 10 years, you know, there's always a new fad as to what skill is most important, right? A few years ago, it was coding. Now it'll be something else. I think what I am convinced of is that we don't know exactly how the future of work is going to look. So, but we do know that industries are being created and destroyed mm. and companies are being created and destroyed in a span of years, not decades. Mm. And as a result, I think the most important skill to have is being able to learn how to learn mm-hmm. and unlearn and relearn. What kind of skills enable you to do that? Entrepreneurship, resilience. You know, really, if you think of yourself, we were just speaking before about your entrepreneurial journey. What is a common trait of an entrepreneur? It's learning, mm. it's unlearning, it's relearning, it's being able to accept failure mm. and bounce back from that. I think we're going to need that in every career going forward. So mm. entrepreneurship as a foundational skill, communication, because we live in a global world that despite the nationalism, I think will continue to be so. And so communication and some of the soft skills, I would say. Mm. The other hard skills, whether they be AI literacy and digital fluency, et cetera, mm. are skills that will be built on top, let's say, of those foundational skills.
Right.
And I think will constantly change.
Well said. And Taha, how do you view the role of formal education in youth development and empowerment?
I think formal education as we know it now faces a couple of challenges. Mm. So if we think at the K-12 level, so pre-tertiary education, I think it's difficult, partially by design, partially because of the resources it has, to adapt fast enough to the needs of this future changing skills landscape. Mm. Right? If we think, you know, there's discussions about climate adaptation, climate skilling, climate mm. education, I think a lot of the right things are being said, but education bodies are just not able to move fast enough. Mm-hmm. Part of it, you know, in terms of curriculum design is designed to take time, rightfully so. Part of it is they're not empowered. Teachers are not empowered. Systems are not empowered and do not have the right skill set to adjust mm-hmm. fast enough.
Right.
So it faces a real challenge mm-hmm. of being irrelevant. And then on the second hand, in terms of tertiary education, the harsh reality is we have 1 billion young people entering the workforce in the next 7 years. Mm. 800 million of them are coming from the global south, mm. most of them from emerging markets. Now, how can we equip those people to be assessed appropriately and mm. skilled appropriately for the future of work? The right. reality is we can't with the current cost structure of tertiary education. Mm. So what we need are alternative pathways into jobs of the future mm. directly with employers at large scale. Mm. This is what we're working on as alternatives to tertiary education. So with large corporates, essentially building up skill pathways, leveraging entrepreneurial skilling, mm. online skilling, and corporate skilling. Mm. So I think we have to look for alternatives. There just isn't enough money to scale up in the way we've been doing things so far.
Fascinating. And how do you leverage technology at Goodwall to create a societal impact?
So through a mobile app and leveraging tools such as AI, we essentially are able to mobilize and engage young people at very large scale. Last year, we reached almost 100 million young people around the world. How do we do that? We allow them to showcase themselves using a mobile app when some of them don't have laptops, mm. you know, allow them to showcase their experiences, allow them to build up a portfolio when they don't have that centralized credentialing, then connect to each other when they don't necessarily have support from their families or friends around them or inspiration from their most close proximity, and then access opportunities, whether they be remote jobs, local jobs, scholarships, or now entrepreneurial opportunities. That's how we leverage technology, essentially combining LinkedIn with TikTok made for Gen Z.
Very interesting. And my next question is that how do you help in bridging the gap between your young talent and the opportunities that exist?
Yeah, so we have a few ways. If we take the opportunities from a learning and earning perspective, from a learning perspective, we basically display and recommend the right opportunities to the right young people, leveraging our algorithms and leveraging peer-to-peer recommendations. Ultimately, algorithms only get you so far. The biggest driver of behavior is other young people like yourself. And that's why the peer-to-peer community of our skills-based good community is so important. That's the first bit. The second bit is, in terms of earning, we connect them to essentially scholarships, internships, and jobs by partnering with large corporates as well as aggregators.
Very interesting. And, you know, given the fact that you are working with 100 million young people, these are from not just very diverse backgrounds, but culturally very diverse as well.
Yeah.
How are you catering to such diversity in these young people from multiple countries?
Yeah, that's a great question. Firstly, our content is localized. So all of our programming is co-created. We essentially have two, if you think of it as a matrix. The first is Goodwill has its expertise of mobilizing and engaging youth. We partner with an organization, whether it be a government, a large corporate, a foundation, an academic institution that is expert in a particular subject matter, take climate or AI. And then we localize the content through local creators. In fact, we pay young people to create the content for other young people. And as a result, you have different content in India versus in Kenya. And what we're trying to do as we scale further is hyper-localize. So essentially have curated content. You know, it changes very much even within a city. You know, we talked about Delhi. You know, I believe if you're from a different socioeconomic background, you need maybe different examples and different content creators. So this is what we're doing at a granular level, leveraging our own young people.
Fascinating. And Taha, how important is mentoring in the journey of a young entrepreneur? And how are you providing mentoring to so many people?
No, it's critical. We were talking about this earlier about, you know, the value of YPO, for example, on a personal level. I've been super privileged, you know, at university and then as part of YPO, and then just in general through my business career, to have had amazing mentors, whether they be investors, board members, YPOers, and mentors really 360 to help maximize my potential as a human, and also in terms of my work. I think it's just, there's no way I would be where I am in this call with you today if not for mentors. What we're trying to do to replicate that is, first of all, create role models at scale. So one to many, because that's the first step. And then allow for those organic engagements, because a lot of the mentors, you know, could be a few years ahead of you, but very relatable. And sometimes that's even more helpful for some of the young people we work with. If you think about it, we're in Nigeria, and a young lady in Nigeria is being mentored remotely by a slightly older or more experienced young lady from Nigeria. That can sometimes be more impactful than that person being mentored by yourself or me, for example.
That's true. Very well said. And even though you are from the social sector, how do you balance the commercial and social aspects of running Goodwill?
I think, firstly, we would not be able to have the impact we're having, move with the agility we have, if we didn't have this duality, which is being a social enterprise. So what that means is being very, very clear, and we've had this since our inception, we're mission-driven. And being mission-driven is our differentiator. By positioning ourselves as saying we are youth first, always, and we are talent first, always, that differentiates us from all the recruitment companies and talent companies out there. And that's why they like us, because we've come at it from this way. It's a similar analogy between Patagonia and some of its competitors. You know, Patagonia has differentiated itself and created a brand for itself through its authenticity and through its desire and uncompromising nature of doing good, let's say. But it's an organization, or it's a social enterprise, if you would like to call it that way. I don't think as a non-for-profit it would have achieved the scale it achieved today.
Yeah.
Same for us. And so for us, actually, it's pretty clear. Stay focused on our vision and our mission. And by doing that, we'll create shareholder value and we'll create maximum impact. I think the risk is, and it definitely is not hard to experience, like with any organization, for-profit or non-for-profit, is when you waver from your vision and your mission, and your key values, I think it's so easy to lose, you know, to lose focus. We've seen it with some of the greatest companies in the world. I'm sure we've seen, you know, now, without naming any, and you're speaking about the aerospace industry, some of the most iconic organizations, for-profit or non-for-profit, they have an amazing mission. And when you focus off that, it's very, very difficult.
Very well said. Great response. And the other thing that I've often noticed in large social sector organizations is the challenge of diversity and inclusion. And, you know, you are again now, as I mentioned earlier, across multiple countries, multiple genders, multiple backgrounds. How do you ensure diversity and inclusion within your organization?
So we still say this, but we definitely used to say this. Goodwill has more passports than people. It was not by design. It was just, we attract a certain type of person to Goodwill because we're a remote first organization. You know, we ran programming last year on 5 continents. We have colleagues from all over the world, from all socioeconomic backgrounds. Ultimately, what I say is to our partners, you know, because we're serving youth, and many of our partners ask us, okay, we need young people to run the programs. And my answer is no. My answer is we need the best people to run the programs. Whether they are young, old, from this country or that, this affiliation or other, what matters is quality.
Yeah.
And I think that's been our approach. It just so happens that quality doesn't choose to all reside in the same location or have the same university background. Quality is everywhere. And as entrepreneurs, my job is partially to find the best people that are, let's say, undervalued. And if you look at our backgrounds, educational or other, many of them come from untraditional backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of our strength.
Great response. I have 3 more questions. My next question is that, given the incredible perspective you have across the whole world, working with so many countries, so many young people, what are some of the global issues you think needs more attention, and how can the youth contribute to these issues?
If I were to pick a couple, one would be the widening skills gap. I think there's a real risk that, on the one hand, we face trillions of dollars in unrealized revenue because many companies in the global north cannot fulfill its talent requirements. This is the first year that actually in France, more young people are leaving the workforce, more people are leaving the workforce than entering it. On the other hand, I mentioned we have 1 billion young people entering the workforce, most of them from the global south. If we take Africa, for example, there simply aren't enough jobs, no matter how you spin it.
Right.
At the moment, there are not enough jobs. And ultimately, we know that people need essentially 2 things, I'm simplifying grossly, to live a fulfilled life. One is a sense of belonging, and 2 is a dignified livelihood. You take, and they are both very correlated, as we know. You take that away, and we see violence, we see social unrest. And I think if we're unable to shorten the widening skill gap, which means assessing talent appropriately, skilling talent appropriately, and connecting them to opportunities at scale, particularly in the African continent, we face a humanitarian crisis of biblical proportions.
Absolutely.
And this is not just Africa's problem. This is Europe's problem. I think within, definitely in my lifetime, much, much sooner than that, I think, you know, we risk seeing machine guns in the Mediterranean. So this is a massive development problem that I think is under talked about. And the real only solution to that is providing sustainable opportunities for young people, giving them skills, assessing them, and livelihood opportunities.
Well said, well said. Two more questions. Who have been some of your role models or inspirations in your own journey?
Many. Too many to count. I've been inspired by my colleagues. I've been inspired by my brother, co-founder. I've been inspired by investors and board members, friends, my parents, I would say. I think very inspired, particularly by my mother, who is an incredibly inspiring person. And I learn from her every day.
Well said. Well said. And my last question to you, Taha. What advice would you give to young individuals aspiring to become social entrepreneurs?
No one will believe in yourself apart in your in you more than yourself. You have to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And go for it.
Wonderful. And on that note, Taha, and your wonderful piece of advice, which is not just for social entrepreneurs, but for every human being, believe in yourself. I think that's such a powerful set of words that you have told all our viewers and listeners about. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me at such length about Goodwall and all the amazing work that you are doing at Goodwall to empower 100 million youth. And I'm sure the difference is already being seen, but hope it'll become like a tsunami as the 100 million, the trainers get more trained and they start training more people. Thank you for everything that you're doing for the good of the world. Thank you for speaking to me and all the very best to you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.